B-Pod Studios.
Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Yeah. In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes with the top down, screaming out money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double law, flashing the rims with the window crack, holla back, money in the bank.
Jigger, I don't like it. 1 o'clock hour on a Friday. We begin it with RJ Bell of pregame.com and, of course, Fox Sports Radio. Hardy, he is brought to us by
Prop Swap. Prop Swap, where America buys and sells sportsbook tickets. PropSwap.com.
RJ, happy Friday.
This should be an exciting weekend, I think, here. We're going to see if the Patriots, you know, very mysterious, poor performance. It's funny, guys. I don't know if you watched the line move.
Yes.
But on Sunday, it plummeted. I mean, it was 9, 9.5, went down to 7. One of the most intense moves I've seen in years against the Pats. Someone knew it wasn't going to be a good day.
Do you think this will shake the confidence of the betting world in the New England Patriots?
I think that there's a lot of ambivalence about Cam in general. I think that people appreciate his athleticism, but also feel like there's something that's been amiss, right? Obviously, there's a reason the Patriots were able to get him at effectively a veteran minimum. And I think that the belief was, hey, maybe Belichick can account for it. He can fix it. But then we see this performance and think, oh, maybe not. This is what I'll say. The Tennessee game against Buffalo was potentially a confusing exception. And what I mean is that you think, oh, look, they didn't practice, or maybe they did, but they look great. Maybe practice doesn't matter as much as we think. Except, remember, this is a team that's been together quite a while, and Tannehill has been there 2 years, et cetera, et cetera. Cam's new. So all the stuff that had to do with how much prep do you need, COVID style, in the off season, new coach is a problem, new quarterback's a problem, I think it applies equally if you miss practice early in the year. So I expect the Pats to do much, much better.
So, RJ, we've been talking a little bit today about the Patriots being in a spot and how they typically respond. And I know over the years, in talking to you on this very show, you've quantified some of that with the statistics of Bill Belichick teams after a loss. And so I wonder if, because Brady is not here anymore, you can't really follow those trends.
Well, I mean, doesn't that get to the heart of the question?
Yeah.
Right? Is, to me, in general, a coach is going to have much more to do with after a loss than a player. Because the question becomes, how does the team respond? You could see a situation, and let's just talk about our own lives, and let's talk about something kind of fun, picking. If you win last week, do you do better or worse? Typically, people do better if they win last week because they're more enthused about it, they're happy, they're engaged, they have their confidence. If you lose one or two or three in a row, does that help? No, it gets your confidence down. If you have a coach like Belichick that you trust, you look at him and say, hey, he's confident, I'm fine, I think that makes a big difference. Some coaches, it becomes a death spiral when a team starts to lose. Other coaches, they say, we're going to focus so much, we're not going to lose that second game. Belichick historically has been outstanding not losing that second game. Now, I will say this quickly. Last week was the perfect storm for Belichick to do well. Not only had they, you know, off a loss, they were off a double-digit loss, which actually was even better for Belichick, and they were going to potentially be under 500. So to me, if you want to say history tells us X or Y, last week was one of the most positive weeks you could imagine, and New England still lost.
All right, I'm thinking Pittsburgh getting a point. What are you looking at in this Tennessee-Pittsburgh game? We look at it as 1 point. Like, that's the one of the books we look at.
Oh, you're saying
what are you seeing it at?
The spread, right?
Yeah, because I've seen multiple where Tennessee's getting a point.
So right now, Pittsburgh, and I'm pointing it up as we're talking here, Titans are 1.5 even. So come Tuesday, Wednesday, Pittsburgh was favored, and then there was some pretty strong action on the Titans. Titans favored clearly now upwards of 1.5.
Okay. So I'm taking Pittsburgh in this still, RJ.
I tend to agree. Well, I think more so, right? I mean, you get better, yes, you know, if it's a better bet. Now, that's always the catch-22 because other people will say, well, if the sharps are betting one way, you might be apprehensive to go against them. In general, I hate going against sharps, but if it's a small move like this, I'm fine with it. Here's why I like Pittsburgh. A lot of people are confused about Tennessee. There's a sense that you got a great coach, which I think you have a good coach. All right, that's fine. And maybe eventually a great one. Then it's like, oh, they got a rock-solid defense and this offense. Now that Tannehill's playing. No, no, no. The defense for Tennessee is like 25th, 28th. This is a top-five offense, a bad defense, and a good coach who, quite frankly, and let's look back to last week against Houston. Mm-hmm. Houston had one win, okay? Now, Tennessee was home, and Tennessee was favored by 3.5. Now, let's say home's 1.5 now. I think that's fair. So you're saying that Tennessee was 2 points better than a horrible, maybe not a horrible Houston team, but a one-win Houston team. That was the market saying, we don't believe in you, Tennessee. And Tennessee got very lucky to cover that game. Very, I mean, one of the, you know, luckiest covers of the year. To me, I think that the game that has people believing in Tennessee is Buffalo. And I think we talked about this. Buffalo was in such a horrible spot in that game where they literally on Sunday didn't know if they'd be playing on Tuesday or on Thursday against Kansas City. It was one of these weird spots that Buffalo was in such a big disadvantage, and Tennessee looked good. I wonder how much of that had to do with that and how much of it had to do with how good Tennessee is. So in general, you look at Pittsburgh, this is a team that strength of schedule hasn't been great, but their performance have been outstanding. They demolished Cleveland, obviously. I think Pittsburgh's just a better team, and if the line's 1.5 with the home team, I'm just going to pick the better team.
RJ, game I looked at this weekend, and a couple of us agreed on this, both me and Jim Louth. We said the game to go with is the Cowboys. Now, this is for not a pro reason, but definitely a Joe reason, and that is the Cowboys can't possibly be this bad that they lose to Washington.
You know, I'm not a big fan of the old, it's been five straight heads, so tails have to come up,
nice,
right?
Even with a drunk baby, you're flipping that coin. Well,
it doesn't matter who's flipping the coin. And to me, here's a great, like if you think someone's a sharp, if it's about casino stuff, poker, ask them the following question. If you walk up and there's seven reds in a row on roulette and you have to bet red or black, someone says, here's $20, free roll, what do you bet?
Doesn't matter.
Probably bet red, actually.
I'm going red.
Seven in a row?
No,
well, let's make it eight.
It doesn't. It's, oh, this is the great thing about roulette. And RJ, you know this. When they started putting the sign up about numbers, the roulette take went up like 300% in casinos because people want to divine some sort of a pattern, but every spin is independent. The game has no history. So it doesn't matter.
First off, you're making a brilliant point about how by posting the results, some people say, oh, look, seven straight reds, gimme, gimme, gimme. Others say, oh, black is due. Here's the thing. You said it very astutely. It is independent. At least that's the assumption. And thus, what you want to play in that case is red. And here's why. There's some small chance that it's a crooked wheel.
And crooked wheel theory.
Right? If it is a crooked wheel, you are getting an edge going red. And if it's not a crooked wheel, it doesn't matter what you do. So in the case that it matters, it's red. So to me, there's good examples of that when it comes to like all the things we look at where we could say, oh, maybe that, you know, this is a coincidence or that's a coincidence, or maybe there's something there that we don't fully understand. And you know what I think? I think with Dallas, maybe they are just that bad.
They are the crooked wheel, so to speak.
That's a good one. Now, think about the end of that. I don't know if you guys watched the whole Monday night game, but if you look at the drive chart, Dallas was losing the game, like something like 28, you know, it was a horrible result. And Arizona, at the end of the, in the second half, still kept scoring. They had four drives, Arizona, in the second half. They scored on three of the four. How bad is that Dallas team morale that you're getting crushed and the other team has no motivation? They were just running. They weren't, like, trying anything. And they still were scoring. Now, I'll tell you this, Andy Dalton wasn't as bad as he seemed. And I'll tell you, if you quantify it this way, there were five drives in the second half for Dallas that they actually gained 30-plus yards each of the five drives. And somehow in those five drives, they only scored three combined points. It's almost impossible to have five drives like that in a row and only score 3 points. It's been fumbles. It's been interceptions. So to me, I think Dallas's offense is better than they seemed. The defense is probably worse. I tend to like the over in the game, but I got no part of that Dallas team on the side because I think morale with that defense is so bad that I don't want any piece of Dallas.
I didn't want any piece of it either, but I was overruled. How about Seattle over Arizona? That's a good game, huh?
I love Arizona in this game, especially at 3.5. So what square had Seattle?
I wanted Tennessee, but Zoe went first and took the Steelers. So he said, pick another game. I'm like, I don't know. And Zoe said Seattle.
I like Seattle.
Yeah, I like their helmets.
Oh, so
fine.
It's someone else's fault. Your pick is someone else. Okay, I got
I literally, there wasn't another game on the board that I liked this weekend. At some of those weekends, it's like, you don't see anything that jumps out to you.
You're right about that. I mean, we've got, pregame.com, we have the only guy to win the Super Contest twice, works for us exclusively, and I've got a bet with him. He has to pick seven sides a week on air, and he gets to lay 103 against me, right? So the typical lay is 110, and he's now down a game or two on the year. He actually went 6-1 last week to come back. But it's so hard to pick a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh game.
Like on a typical week, how many games do you look at, RJ, and like? It's like, no, I like.
That's a great question. If we're talking sides only, like the point spread, two or maybe three. But it's rarely, if ever, going to be over three, and it's usually going to be two.
And there are weekends when you just don't like any of them.
Well, I usually have one, and maybe I'm still just a little, you know, as much as I want to be dispassionate, it's kind of hard not to like anything, you know, like I tend to, you know, but some weeks I kind of like it, but don't love it. Other weeks I love two games. But I'll tell you this, Arizona, I did a new study. I'll actually send it to you guys when I finalize it, if you're interested. But
yes.
What I did, thank you. What I did was this. I said, all right, when is a game competitive? So I said, if it's within 14 in the first half, let's call that competitive. If it's within 10 in the third quarter, if it's within 7 in the fourth quarter, and all of overtime. Okay, and I looked at every play, and you can do this at Pro Football Reference. You can do search. It's kind of involved, but you got to look for certain things, and then you put it in a database, and then you combine it. And what I found out was, and in theory, these are every play of the year that it was competitive. Only look at those. Because let's be candid, when Arizona's beating Dallas by 20, how much does it mean? I don't think anybody knows. Remember Dallas last year, their stats were great, but a lot of those stats came from comebacks. And the question is, if you're down by 20 and you come back, what does that tell you? So when you look at only competitive, Arizona is the fifth best team in the NFL. Now, I'm going to dig deeper to try to understand what's happening there, but I just came up, you know, with the calculations this morning. And by the way, and you know me, I'm a big Patriots fan after the Steelers. Patriots are like number 23 in that. So in general, this is new to me, but do you guys think conceptually that saying looking only at the stats when the game's competitive is a meaningful thing?
It's meaningful. It does mean something. I wouldn't call it meaningless, but it's how, you know, does that determine how good you are? If you're a really good team and you beat the crap out of everybody from the, you know, kickoff of the game, does that come through in those statistics is sort of the question.
Well, in theory, all the way up to having a 14-point lead, you're gaining all of that benefit. So you're
okay,
right.
I get what you're saying. Okay.
So, and again, it's an interesting concept because what I know for sure is if you look at the stats, and I know we got to run in the Cowboys game, it looks like the Cowboys actually played better than Arizona. They had more yards. They had more first downs. Something's wrong with that. You can't just look at yards and first downs if Dallas actually had the better score or better stats than Arizona. Thus, I think competitive times in the game is a place to look.
All right, RJ, great to talk to you as always. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Thank you.
See you,
RJ Bell joining us from Fox Sports Radio and pregame.com. You can also hit him up on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Also want to tell you that Phil Perry today was driven by Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock Assurance is a proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Join Plymouth Rock as they cheer on the Pats all season long. Learn more at PlymouthRock.com/Patriots. Go Pats. Your calls coming up on this weekend's game, on the World Series from earlier. Whatever it is you want to talk about, we're talking about it with you the rest of the way. Join us next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Comes to sports, they're knowledgeable.
Tell me about a pie that doesn't have a top over it.
And always on their game.
I walk around my house naked all the time.
Solak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, feeling good. 617-779-0985. BJ is in Worcester. He's been hanging on. Thanks, BJ.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
So I'd much rather see us trade some offensive weapons like John Ross or Will Fuller. But if trading Stephon Gilmore is inevitable, I'd rather see us trade for someone like J.J. Watt or Richard Sherman. You know, someone who's going to bring us productivity.
Sherman's in a boat.
Those are
right
old
now.
Guys. What do you want the old
broken
guys
down.
For?
Well, isn't Stephon Gilmore, didn't you guys say he was on the wrong side of 30?
Yeah, so if you're going to play still.
The guy you just named in Gilmore is of equal sort of age and skill level as Watt, right?
I mean, Sherman is Watt's still Sherman has ruptured his Achilles. He's in a walking boot right
Sherman,
now.
Sherman's old man. Nothing to do with that. What would be the point of that?
This is if trading Gilmore is inevitable and we have to get somebody out of it.
So you want a name. Like which, your point is you want a veteran name.
It's not inevitable if you want to just hang on to him for the rest of the year and let him play it out. It's not and if you're going to trade him, you're not going to trade him for Richard Sherman.
His point is he's trying to get a veteran name.
What about a receiver who's got some years left? And he mentioned Will Fuller. I don't know what Will Fuller's contract situation is.
It's doable.
It's doable?
For that type of player. It's not a $15, $14 million type deal.
I'm talking
deal.
About term. How much time does he have left?
I think he had 2 years left.
See, that might be worth something.
Yeah, but that was like a Sanu contract. I think it's like a Sanu type contract. But that's a guy that I think fights for the football, that goes and gets. I'd like Fuller. I'd take him. I think he would help your
Fuller's
your
an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year.
Oh, Jesus Christmas.
No time left on the deal. And in going back to this, why would the Texans want Gilmore? Unless they want to sign him big money and have a guy in his 30s playing corner.
Yeah.
Like they're in sort of a bad spot right now. They just fired their coach. They had a bad loss last week. They might have to tear it down and build it back up for all we know. They got the quarterback. They got the quarterback piece. He's there. He's signed. Someone said if you could move him to Seattle. Let me find the tweet someone sent us. If you could get him to Seattle for a mid-round pick and Lockett.
Now, why would they want to get rid of Tyler Lockett?
Well, what if they sign Antonio Brown?
You're going to trust Antonio Brown for how many games Hardy is left? So 11 more weeks? What's the odds of Antonio Brown not freaking out in 11 weeks?
Well, according to those guys, they are fully believing that they're going to make him a changed man.
Yeah.
By the way, Lockett
is culture.
The culture, the men there.
Pete's culture.
Men.
Lockett is under contract through next season. Again, I don't know that really solves anything for the Patriots long term, unless, of course, they're getting Jimmy Garoppolo in the offseason again. Always circle back to that item. But if Gilmore's not going to be here next season and you could get Lockett and maybe another pick somewhere in the draft, maybe that is something they would do.
See,
that would be good for Seattle. Wouldn't Seattle get better with Gilmore in their secondary?
Oh, how about this? San Fran loses this game. They get the four losses. Now, that's the team that's like chasing, and they know they have no shot because they have so many guys out, like D. Ford and company. Sherman's in a boot, as I said. So a lot of their big-time guys, Mostert's on IR. Like, they're hurt. They are hurting. Gilmore out there for Jimmy.
We keep getting emails and tweets about Allen Robinson, too, by the way. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Allen Robinson's happy now. They redid his deal. Like, they're working towards it.
They're working on getting a new deal done, and his team...
It's not done, but they buried that hatchet. Is that the term, bury hatchet?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you got it. You nailed it, Ben. Oh, yeah, you're right on it. Like, they're in first place in their division. They're 5-1.
Bury that nail.
Hammer the nail? Is that maybe one?
No, bury the hatchet.
Bury the hatchet.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to come up with something new for
you. I know. There. I was trying, too, because everybody says that.
Yeah. There's always the hit the nail on the head. But bury the hatchet is sort of, you know, with there being a previous fight or disagreement that you then apologize for and get over. That's why you're burying the hatchets. You don't want to be, you know, swinging them at each other anymore.
Okay.
So I don't know that it would apply in this situation, right. But you got the saying right.
Right.
This is what you were asking for. 617-779-0985.
When in Rome.
When in Rome.
Yeah. I was trying to get a guest here real quick. I'm trying. Efforting.
Is he on or not?
No. We're efforting. I think we might run out of time.
Why?
I don't know if he has time.
What's he doing?
I don't know. I'm not in direct contact with him, so I got somebody working on it.
Oh,
trying it. Just don't want to.
Why wouldn't he?
I'm not even saying.
What is he doing that he can't?
I don't know.
He can't do it.
Busy guy. Nice guy. Always working with.
Great guy.
Great guy. One of my favorites. One of my favorites.
What is he doing? We've been efforting for like an hour over there. More.
Let me do one.
Not you. I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
You've been doing the
I don't have the direct contact, okay? So.
Who'd you go through?
People.
A player?
No. Someone handles players.
Oh. Yeah. An agent?
No. Kind of a handler, but.
Handler.
Not an agent, right, but a handler.
Marketing agent?
No. Just an errand. A person that runs errands.
A do-boy.
Do-boy or do-girl.
As Wiggy used to tell us.
Yeah.
Do-boy.
Hardy, did you ever have a do-boy?
No.
Like when you were big in radio out in Vegas, like you didn't have somebody like run and get you pizza or?
No. I had Darren, the intern.
Okay.
That is true. That's the closest thing he's ever had.
Who was the one kid that brought your pillow, like the pillow and your notes wrapped up on him? All the sponsors.
Who had the pillow?
He had the pillow right there. That pillow. Remember? He used to carry the pillow
That was Cam.
Oh, that was Cam. Yeah.
That's Cam.
He had it monogrammed and everything.
Yellow pillow.
That's right.
Then you had Nate.
It's still on the floor.
Who gave you the great tip on a good movie that my wife watched the other night. Said it wasn't that great.
Hey,
Joker.
You want a good movie?
The Joker.
Joker.
Yeah. Still don't watch it. Not
first time hearing of it.
I heard we might have a former intern getting employment here.
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
I won't say who. I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if it's official.
Right. Me.
Bubba the intern going to work the golf show?
Tom Morgan. They're going to give Tom Morgan a title.
One
of these days. One of these days.
Loth doing back there. He's working on it.
Watching the clock.
Working. He's back there listening to the show is what he's doing.
Straightening his desk calendar.
You know Jim does the
he's got a rubber pencil thing going on.
Jim does the finger cross thing here, like sitting up his desk. He's trying to look important back there. He's
just being all Ed Rooney at the desk, you know, any fleck, any crumb, just
Anybody walks by and he's like, yeah, yeah, no, I'll send that over right now. Yeah, okay, thanks, very good.
Just
wrapped up a call. Can I help you with something? You know, like what? Jim, why is there solitaire on your screen?
That was true.
My mind exercise to keep my mind sharp at lunchtime with that. Like what? Mike in Woburn. Mike.
Guys, how are you?
Good.
Hey. Hi.
Hey, I don't think really, I think football is the only championship this year that would be even remotely on the level in terms of not needing an asterisk, not being, tainted by what's going on this season. I mean, A hockey stopped and started for four months. So basically any team that played physical got a chance to recharge the batteries before the playoffs. You know,
what about basketball? What about the NBA? That seemed pretty legit.
The NBA's rigged to begin with. This just required less logistics for them. They just chop off half a season
and keep it all under one roof.
Right, exactly. It's like the WWF, except they only have to do half the pay-per-view, you know? And they got what they wanted. They coronated LeBron. They got to celebrate Kobe. This was a David Stern production. I hope he gets reception where he is.
Same so movie, just it. A later release date. Okay.
Exactly. And I mean, baseball's got the longest regular season in sports, you know? And if you just go 60 games, do we want to go back in history and see who was hot at the All-Star game and then just hand them a COVID, you know, a little trophy with all those little flags on it that falls apart as soon as the guys get drunk? No. I really think that football is the only one that even has a semblance of normalcy in terms of their regular season and the transition into the postseason. You know, I mean, honestly, it just seems like the rest of them, I'm not going to consider them real champions. And that's just not sour grapes for me. That's just looking at it with a sort of unbiased eye. I mean, I'll give you one stat. The Bruins in 2011, in their playoff run, 25 games, had 675 hits. The Tampa Bay Lightning had 1,175.
Stats.
It's because they didn't have the regular season like bogging them down.
Which means that sort of that war of attrition and the war of the time and effort over that time, you're fresher. I get what he's saying. Listen, I just think everyone's done the best they could possibly do. It doesn't totally suck. It doesn't. And years from now, we're not going to remember it. We're not going to remember that, you know, the Lakers title with LeBron's first title there was, we're not going to say it was illegitimate. We're going to count it like you count any other one. But I get what he's saying.
Technically, yes.
Football playing all the way through with no break will be the most legitimate. Mike is right about that. We'll get to more of your calls, and we'll tell you who we were trying to get on the line.
Yeah.
Because this guy got robbed yesterday. Not literally. He was figuratively robbed by a group of people. I don't know. I'm going to figure it out. Let's get to it next. Okay, so?
Sure.
All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
We killed this song, man. We play it too much. I just told T-Bone. Thank you. Here's who we were trying to get in touch with. Deion Branch. Because Deion Branch retweeted the Patriots All-Dynasty team. Deion Branch doesn't seem thrilled with the All-Dynasty team that he is not a part of.
Retweeted with the put the emoji
hand
there.
To the face emoji. Wow. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 10 times he put the hand to the face emoji and then hashtag wow, that's amazing. He retweets a screen grab of the team. I just went through all the players and I just double checked, but I might be wrong on one of them. But here's what I came up with. There are 3 guys out of all the players on this all dynasty team list that don't have a ring. One is Logan Mankins. The other 2 are Randy Moss and Wes Welker. What is the point of an all-dynasty team if you don't need to be someone who actually actively contributed to the dynasty, which are 6 Super Bowl rings? Wes Welker and Randy Moss are both missing those. How is it that you put Randy Moss, as great as he was, now if you put it in a vacuum and say, who's a better receiver, Randy Moss or Deion Branch?
Oh, stop.
I'm taking Randy Moss. Everybody is.
Right. But a Patriots dynasty player.
This is about
impact with the organization.
How did you get those six rings? How did you become a dynasty? You didn't do it by having good seasons.
Right.
You had it by winning the Super Bowl six times. And Deion Branch is a Super Bowl MVP, may I remind you.
It shot his way out of town and went to Seattle, and I think that hurts him.
Such nonsense. So the group is chosen by partially by fans and partially by a panel of experts knowledgeable about the Patriots. Mm.
Bob Heidelberg.
Oh, come on, guys. Deion Branch should be on this list ahead of both Welker and Moss.
Deion was here 7 years. He came back, finished 2 years here, went away, went to Seattle, got paid out in Seattle. But he was an original real receiver. The first one you really targeted, drafted, second round, and said, you know, that's our guy. Got him out of Louisville, developed him, became probably your best receiver you picked that you drafted. Right? Randy was free agent. Welker's free agent. Welker's the thing that stands out for Welker when you look at the numbers, there are 4 years where he had a minimum of 110 catches in each year.
Yes, wonderful, great, productive guy.
Do they hang the throw more on Brady than they do Welker dropping the ball against the Giants?
How does that not factor in? Like, in the Super Bowl, Wes Welker, oops, drop, Deion Branch,
he had to make that catch.
Balls, MVP. And you put Welker on there and not Branch? Branch got robbed. He got hosed.
Troy Brown's the other guy in. He's
and by the way, I don't care at all about these lists. I didn't even know this was a thing.
That's a good topic.
I knew it was a thing when it popped up yesterday. I don't care to like who's on it, debate it on our own. But when the player gets upset, I'm like,
mad.
Wait, what
Deion's
happened?
Deion's mad.
I looked at the list once I saw Deion's tweet. Deion's tweet was the first time I looked at the list and I go, ooh, he's got a case. He's got a good case.
That's a good dude, too. Good guy. He's been around. He comes back for every one of these guys that gets inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
But that's not a reason to put him on there either.
No. But I'm
great
just saying.
Guy, but that's not a reason.
The reason is he's
a Super Bowl MVP.
Correct. But
and
I also
you
think
left him off the dynasty team.
But it's also attachment to the program. You know, some guys like never come back. Bruce Armstrong's that's never coming back.
So what? I know you have your issues with him, but he was a fabulous player.
With him.
Bruce Armstrong was a hell of a player.
One of the best tackles ever play. Yeah.
You still have some Bruce Armstrong something there.
No, it's the captain thing. That's all.
There's something there. Still,
I don't think Bruce Armstrong would be captain on this
there
team.
There is an element to that with the Patriots, like who comes around or something. Like, you know what?
Yeah.
But Welker didn't end here well. In fact, he's not on good terms, I think, with Bill, right? Like, it seems sort of strange there. Strained relationship.
They've hung out at the Derby together, though, recently.
The
you know,
Talib thing?
Yeah, that's after they've been together after that. Super Bowls and derbies. Horse races.
Jake in Florida on the All Dynasty team. What's up, Jake?
Hi, Jake.
Hey there, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to hint out two points with the All Dynasty team where I think they really got it wrong. For the most part, the list is pretty accurate. But I think Deion Branch was a huge miss. And then the other big head scratcher was putting Roman Pfeiffer there instead of Ted Johnson.
Or Mayo as an inside linebacker.
Exactly. Roman Pfeiffer only played 4 years for the Pats. Ted Johnson played for 10. Roman Pfeiffer had 343 tackles for the Pats. Ted Johnson had 760.
All right, but you're counting years that weren't part of three Super Bowls.
Do you remember him as an inside linebacker?
Who?
Roman.
Not really.
He's kind of an outside guy.
Yeah.
He's like a Van Noy type, you know?
Yeah, I would.
Vrabel. See, the problem is you got Vrabel, Ninkovich. You got to get those guys in there.
Call
they
me
won
crazy.
Multiple rings.
What was Pfeiffer's last year here?
95. He was 05, 06.
Did he make it through all three? Was he here for all three in the?
Yeah, I think so.
At the beginning?
I think so. I think he's one of the guys you brought in 01.
He was. Yeah. He was here for all three.
Yeah. Three-time champ.
As was Ted Johnson.
But I thought Roman was in that transition where Roman was playing more than Ted. They started to face
Roman
that
was
out.
Going home after games, right? He would come back midweek. That was part of the deal to keep playing?
That was the guy hurt the hip.
Cox?
No. What the hell? The guy you paid. You paid him good bank.
Who?
Chicago. He was in Chicago.
I thought it was Roman Pfeiffer.
What the hell am I thinking of? Hurt the hip.
Colvin.
Roosevelt Colvin. Was a guy went back home.
Oh, no.
Back and forth.
I'm talking about earlier. I think Pfeiffer had that same deal. He could go home after games and would report back like on Wednesday.
Yeah, even Capello, who's seen it all and has been the... He's like, Branch got hosed.
Super Bowl
hosed.
MVP. Super Bowl MVP. MVP. Like, you won. A lot of those guys got rings on there.
Well, at least one of your Vipers got three Super Bowl
other
rings.
Than Tom Brady, who are the MVPs of Super Bowls? Come on.
Edelman. And Branch.
Yeah. That's it.
Edelman and Branch. But no, you got to get Randy Moss on there for what?
Records.
And it's not Randy Moss' fault that they lost the Super Bowl, but...
Undefeated. That banner was up for a little bit, and then they had to take it down.
Sorry, I'd rather go, 12-4, 13-3, or 14-2 and win a Super Bowl than go 16-0 and lose at the end.
Scrappy. Good route runner.
I guess the most the worst one is Welker. Like, Moss caught a touchdown at the end of the Super Bowl.
Troy Brown did everything, the ultimate Patriot, right?
We thought Randy Moss had caught the winning touchdown in Super Bowl 42. We thought that was it. Randy Moss just caught the winning touchdown. They're going to escape here.
I'd keep Moss in over Welker.
As would I.
Yeah.
As crazy as that seems, considering all the productive years that Welker had. Jim in New Hampshire. Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Jim.
Jim, that was me. I just screwed that up.
Oh, Beetle.
I just screwed that up. Jim, call us right back. Tim is in Portsmouth. I apologize, Jim. That was a mistake. Tim?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
Quick trade proposal for you guys about Gilmore. So the Steelers are stacked with wideouts. They've got Claypool and Juju is kind of the one and two, but they've also got James Washington and Deontay Johnson. So I'm wondering, do you think the Steelers would potentially part with either a first and a second and one of those latter two wideouts?
Wait, for who? Just for Gilmore?
No, for Gilmore, yeah. A one or a two plus a wideout.
For Gilmore?
For Gilmore, correct.
No. AFC contender, they ain't trading with you.
No. No, they're not doing that.
No.
We've already sort of lowered our expectations on the pick. Yeah. Bert Breer, as O told us earlier, had a great stat today, and that is the last 10 trades that have happened with a first-round pick involved were all for players that were 26 or younger. Gilmore is 30, going on 31 next year. So,
which leads you to believe maybe they were trying to shop him, which Bert had that report, too, at the beginning of the year, and maybe the takers weren't there. Well, you probably weren't getting a high pick. Go ahead.
Jim, my apologies. Welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Vito. Two quick points. One was a couple of red flags that I see on Cam Newton, and they've been brought up by multiple people. Bedard hit it right on the head on Tuesday. Lack of vision downfield. I don't think it matters if you've got five all-pro receivers lining up. If you don't see them when they're open, it's not going to work. The other one being obviously holding on to the ball too long. Just not making the quick decision. Blind and slow on the draw, I don't think is going to get it done. The big point that I had for you guys to maybe discuss is right now it looks as though the Giants and the Jets are the front runners in the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes. If one of them were to secure him in the draft, how do you feel about the possibility of Belichick going where Trevor Lawrence is and his obvious affinity for the New York teams, especially the Giants, and being offered a break-the-bank, say, five-year deal to come and coach him on a rookie contract and build a solid defense?
Okay, well, he's not going to the New York Jets. That is never, ever, 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 ever going to happen. And I don't think the Giants would be in play because one of his guys just took the job there. That's why. So I don't think either one would be in play. What I'd be more interested in, Jim, is that if either of those two teams get Trevor Lawrence, they would then be maybe considering moving either Darnold.
That's where I thought he was going with it.
Or, Daniel Jones, who had a little accident last night and fell down. I'd take either one of them here in New England to try and work something out there and make him your next quarterback. Let's get to today's takeaways, fake promos.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub. Stop. That's sweet. Funky stuff.
Hey. All right, fake promos on a Friday brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Sample how tasty losing can be. Sample how tasty losing weight can be with Awaken 180, approved freshly prepared meals at all Roach Brothers and Brothers Marketplace locations. Weight loss is never bland with Awaken 180 weight loss.
Let's get right to them. How many do we have today, T-Bone?
Looks like we have 8. Let's start with the one Zoe was calling for today.
Okay.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Should be a tight one, but they should win the game. What? What would
should
you,
be a tight one.
Was there a fake promo in there or something for you?
We got one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mark that one down.
So,
thank you.
Okay.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You screwed it all up.
Did he?
Nah, that was a bad one.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Bob and Ashland. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know how we have those promos that run on the station that are like all the excited callers like, yeah, I hate you guys. Yeah, go Bruins.
You drive me nuts, but I listen every day.
Right. No, we need that one.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
How you doing?
Big fan.
Yeah, home of the Pats.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
I had so much to drink last night.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
And then for the full 2 minutes, we get...
Ballroom Blitz. Ballroom Blitz. Everybody's like...
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports
Where's
Hub.
The ballroom? Let's go blitz it. Where's it at? Like, ooh, and the man in the back.
The blink of an eye.
The blink of an eye.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
We're no strangers to love. You know the rules. So do I.
Never gonna give you up.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports
You
Hub.
Can pass for him. That's pretty good.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I thought that was him. I thought we were listening to the vocal-only track.
Yeah, sure you did.
That was Beatles?
It's like Pet Sounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pet Sounds, yes. It's the God Only Knows vocals only, for sure.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Did I ever mention, speaking of skates, that Zdeno Chara is 7 feet tall on ice skates? Have you ever heard me say that?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5.
What
Sports
is that?
Hub.
That was Mock Jones.
That was Mock Emmerich.
I mean, Mock Emmerich.
So all he did was do Doc Emmerich impressions?
Yeah, when they had Doc Emmerich on, we did Mock Emmerich.
Only for about 4 or 5 minutes. The only thing wrong with the bit is we didn't
counter-programming
twice as long. Mock Emmerich.
Counter-programming who?
Oh, Emmerich was the one across the street.
So we did
so
Mock
Emmerich. We did Mock Emmerich, like the real interview.
We interviewed Mock Emmerich.
Our morning guys had him on this week, right?
Yeah.
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 All right, one more.
I think I'd rather listen to Mock Emmerich.
Last one.
Middays at 10, Zolak and Bertrand.
Blow it me.
I'll do it. I got it.
No, you blow it me. No, you want to blow the air in. Blow it in. You want to blow it in.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Air conditioning went. Yep.
It's a little bit warm in here for sure.
All right.
Zoe, looking forward to your call on Sunday.
Excited. Can't wait to see Jimmy play. Let's go.
You can, of course, catch Sunday's game right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. And Gasper and I will have your pregame coverage. Gasper will be with Felger and Mavs this afternoon, I believe, at 4 o'clock, his typical time. That's a thumbs up from Jay Stu. Felger, Mavs coming your way next. Have a great weekend. Talk to you on Sunday. Go Pats.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.